Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, on 77 WABC, the crown jewel of American radio.
It is indeed James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, with you here. If you'd like to be part of our program this afternoon, dial 800-848-WABC. We will be taking your calls. 800-848-9222. And of course, we have much to discuss on today's program. We spoke yesterday at length about the situation regarding General Milley. Up until maybe an hour ago, I thought I was losing my mind with the news coverage because the coverage in the news today seemed to be nothing to see here. Oh, no, it's just normal. Every general does this. Every general makes calls to the enemy and says they're going to give advance warning on an attack if we should attack. Every general thinks that the president that he serves by oath is nuts and therefore colludes with foreign governments and with the Speaker of the House with whom he agrees politically with. No, nothing to see here. Go about your business. That was the kind of coverage that we were getting out of many of the news outlets until about an hour ago. The two newspapers responsible for bringing this story out first, the Washington Post and the New York Times, if you go through their pages today, you can barely find any mention of it. It certainly wasn't on the splash page of the New York Times, nor the Washington Post, which was a bit odd. It's as if they dropped a hand grenade in the room and then just turned and walked out, like there's like the movies where the big explosion happens and they're just walking out in front of it, not bothering to look back at the damage. That was what it was like today, looking for news in the Washington Post and the New York Times on the very story that they broke yesterday. Fox News has an interesting story, and it was also Fox News earlier today that had a story that seemed, and I'm not saying Fox News did this, I'm saying the content of the story was one of those that seemed to be saying, oh, nothing to see here, and that's that Defense Secretary Mark Esper took the lead on General Milley's calls to China. That is the headline. So no one is denying that these calls took place. And that, my friends, means that there should definitely be an investigation. Now, we are expecting in moments Megyn Kelly to join us. And hopefully we'll have a few minutes to talk about this story with Megyn. I just want to catch up with her. She's got some new things going on. I want to catch up with her briefly about what she thinks about the Biden administration. And later this hour, we'll be speaking with Congressman Representative Louis Gohmert, who I sometimes refer to as America's congressman because he has got his finger on the pulse of what most of us think. Most of us conservatives, at any rate. So this story is going to be front and center. And it should not be merely swept away. And it should not be relegated to the everybody does it, don't worry about it category. Because everybody doesn't do what this general did. And to say that and to imply that is to give what has happened to our country, to our military, short shrift. Like him or not, President Donald Trump was the president of the United States until the oath of office was given to Joe Biden. And it was not up to Mark Milley. It was not up to Mark Esper to try and make decisions, the decisions that they made. Joining us, Megyn Kelly. Welcome, Megyn. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it is such a pleasure. Megyn, you are up to some new things. What are you doing these days?
Well, you know, I launched my podcast about a year ago, and that went well. And basically, I just struck a deal to do it live on SiriusXM on the Triumph channel, channel 111. And so I'll be doing sort of, it's still a podcast. You can still download it for free, or you can listen to me live on Sirius and call in. We can chat.
That's amazing. So
it's actually been really fun.
Yeah. So you've had some fun during the podcast. I see you everywhere. Some of the remarks that you make. Now, Megyn, you've worked on all sides of the media. Now, you became a household name over at Fox. Then you went over to NBC.
Yes, let's make that. I thought that was a meaningful distinction at one point, but I thought I was just going to NBC. But I realized it's all MSNBC.
Right, and now you struck out on your own doing your own podcast. So let me ask you a question. What is the state, in your view, of American television news media these days? And I didn't mean to blindside you with that question.
No, it's fine. Oh, I think it's completely collapsed as a reliable source of journalistic integrity. Completely collapsed. There's no place to go, and you really shouldn't have to work this hard to find your information. It's, of course, beyond just cable news and broadcast news as a problem, but back in the day, and it wasn't that long ago, there were several places you could tune in and get perhaps somewhat left-leaning, but somewhat objective news. And that's no longer the case. And it's sad, and it's had massive consequences from what we saw on January 6th to what we're seeing now with COVID, with the vaccines and so on. The media refuses to acknowledge its role in creating such distrust in our public sources. And until they do, we're going to have more events like those, because people will find information somewhere. And if they don't have a media they can trust, they're going to go to places that aren't all that reliable.
What is your take on the performance of the Biden administration thus far? Do you think that they are meeting the expectations of the American people, or below the expectations, or above?
I mean, I think widely below. I mean, I think that's why his approval numbers are so low and sinking. And I also think it's why he issued his deeply problematic executive order on COVID vaccinations and OSHA. He felt himself falling, and there was no bottom. And the country was universally against how he handled Afghanistan. You know, when the mainstream media is coming after you day after day, you've done something wrong as a Democrat. And I think that was, in my view, more of a political play than it was anything else. The mandatory vaccines or you're fired bit, because his base likes that. He's not looking to shore up support with the right. He's looking to rally his own troops, and they love mandatory vaccinations and mandatory everything. And so he threw him a bone. And, you know, everybody else can be damned. If you've had COVID, if you have natural immunity, he doesn't much care, because he needs to get those numbers back up.
Now, when you look at what is going on with this General Milley story that surfaced yesterday from the Washington Post and New York Times, you know, I just described it as, to me, they threw a hand grenade in, and it's almost like a movie scene. They threw the hand grenade, the explosion came, but they were nowhere to be found. They're walking off, not even looking back. There was nothing in the Times of note today or the Washington Post as a follow-up to the story.
It's crazy. I mean, it's truly crazy. This is, if somebody had done this to Barack Obama, right, it would have been on every paper in the nation. It's crazy to me that you even got guys like Vindman coming out and saying, this is a dangerous precedent. It's an unprecedented act of insubordination. There was a great piece by Stephen Miller in The Spectator, which everybody should read, but he was talking about how this guy usurped the chain of command. He attempted to take civilian control of the military. And the truth of General Milley is no one elected him to do anything. No one elected him. If he didn't like what he saw coming down the pike with our, you know, game show host president who was duly elected by the American people, he should have spoken out publicly or resigned at the time. He had no right to try to take civilian control of the military, and he really should be forced to resign.
And I believe that wholeheartedly. I think we need to have investigations. I am surprised that the Republican leadership, now Republican congressmen and senators are all some of them are reacting. Others are strangely mute. But no one in Republican leadership that I've heard of has addressed this thus far, and that surprises me.
You know, I guess you're right, because I would have thought that he was so weakened by how Afghanistan was handled. You know, people were already calling for his resignation or for Austin's resignation, that they would have pounced on this. You know, Republicans pounce, that they would have pounced on this one. But you're right. It's been, and it's probably because they're busy and they're doing other things, and it's not really a media story. That no one's made them answer for it yet.
Now, Megan, I know time's running short for me. I want to ask you one more question, and this just goes to what motivates you. Listen, we all of us that have followed your career, you've had dazzling success that very few people in the media have had, right? And so you're in the upper echelon of people that have succeeded in the media. After you left NBC, you could have just sat on an island somewhere and just, you know, you and your hubby and your kids spent the rest of your life just relaxing and watching the world go by or traveling the world and having fun. But yet you came back into this rough and tumble business of analysis, of putting yourself out there with your opinions, and of course your fact-based opinions on things. What motivated you to do that?
That is a great question. You know, my therapist said to me, you know, Megan, you don't always have to take the path of most resistance. And I really felt like I can do no other. It's like, you know, getting out of the mafia. They keep pulling you back in. I was on my couch for a while, and I will confess that, you know, my departure from NBC was so awful and uncomfortable and painful. I licked my wounds for a while, and I spent way too much time feeling sorry for myself. And then I realized I have a great life, and I need to kick my own ass and get up and stop doing that. And then I just saw the cultural shift we're in and the massive, weird, disturbing culture wars. And I knew I had to fight. I have to fight for my country, for my kids, for what I understand is reason, for due process, for free speech, for things that used to be a given. That's the country I want to hand down to my kids. I want to be able to display my flag, which I do, with pride, not having someone think it's about white supremacy. And if we lay down and we let people win when it comes to these rhetorical battles, which are becoming real battles on college campuses and elsewhere, then we deserve to lose. So I'm in it. And I don't, you know, the one advantage of having been in the public sphere for a long time is I don't really care when people come after me now. And if they get to me a little, I have a lot of experience of getting back up.
Megan Kelly, what a treat to have you here. I hope we hear from you from time to time on this show.
Anytime. I'm so happy for you and your show, and I'll do it anytime you want.
Thank you, Megan. And you are just an inspiration. You know, you are an inspiration. I don't think there's anyone who has the kind of background that you have. I mean, you were so analytical, and you are so just, I mean, you're the best at what you do, and I just wish you the best of luck in your new program.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure, and good luck, because I don't know that we'll need it, but it's fun to be back in the arena.
Wonderful. Megan Kelly, ladies and gentlemen, James Golden here on WABC Talk Radio 77. We will be back. We're taking your calls. 800-848-WABC if you want to be part of today's program. Don't go away. That, my friends, if you don't recognize the voice, because you're in the younger generation, it's Sly Stone, Sly and the Family Stone. They were game changers in the music world with their first hit, Dance to the Music. My, my, my. WABC Talk Radio 77, New York, the crown jewel of American radio. I'm going to start now going through and dissecting some of the General Milley stories that are in the news today. Louis Gohmert will be here, Congressman Louis Gohmert, in about 10 minutes or so. And we are going to continue that discussion. And we are going to take your calls. 848-WABC is the number to call, 800-848-WABC. Milley's spokesman defends calls with China as vital to avoiding unintended consequences or conflict. Now, the chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff regularly communicates with chiefs of defense across the world, including with China and Russia. These conversations remain vital to improving mutual understanding of U.S. national security interests, reducing tensions, providing clarity, and avoiding unintended consequences or conflict. That is what the spokesman for General Milley, Colonel Dave Butler, said in a statement that was released today. He said that General Milley's call with the Chinese and others in October and January were in keeping with those duties and responsibilities, conveying reassurance. Now, this is part of what I was saying. The news today is, oh, this is normal. This is all normal business. Nothing to see here. Stop making a big deal out of it, folks, and go away. There is nothing further than the truth than to say this is normal business. It is true that our military leaders and other military leaders of the world do speak with each other. It is not normal for a military chief to tell his counterpart, in this case, General Li in China, don't worry about it. We're not going to attack you. If we are going to attack you, I'm going to give you a heads up so that you won't be surprised. And that is what is reported to have been said. Now, these conversations we learn, and I guess this is why there is no denial. The conversations that took place in front of as many as 15 people. And there were multiple people involved in these conversations. Defense Secretary Esper, who was the defense secretary in October when these calls began, last October, there was a story earlier today that said Milley was absolutely not going rogue. Esper took the initiative in October and asked his own policy to back channel information to the Chinese, to have the back channel. And so if you look at this story, Esper saying, hey, no, nothing here. I okayed it. Well, did President Trump know you were okaying it? No. And now some of these calls go beyond, and this is the one I want to get to. Because this was a story that thankfully broke right before the show to help make me ease my mind. No, I'm not going crazy here. This is not business as usual. Trump Acting Defense Secretary Miller says he did not authorize Milley China calls. And he says Milley should resign. Former Acting Secretary of Defense Christopher Miller, who led the Pentagon from the period after the 2020 election through Inauguration Day, said that he did not, this is a quote, he did not and would not ever authorize, end quote, the calls. In a statement to Fox News, Defense Secretary, he was Acting Defense Secretary Miller, said that the United States Armed Forces from the inception has operated under the inviolable principle of civilian control of the military. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff is the highest ranking military officer whose sole role is providing military specific advice to the president and by law is prohibited from exercising executive authority to command forces. The chain of command runs from the president to the secretary of defense, not through the chairman, is what he told Fox News. He went on to reference the allegations that Milley had reviewed intelligence with Lee and suggested that the Chinese officials believed that we were planning an attack on them, and then Milley contacted him a second time to reassure him that we wouldn't make any types of advances or attack China in any form. That's when Milley told his Chinese counterpart that democracy can be sloppy. But don't worry, we're not going to attack. If anything like that were going to happen, I'll give you a call. You'll know about it, so it won't be a surprise. Acting Defense Secretary Miller also said the pursuit of partisan politics and individual self-interest are a violation of an officer's sacred duty and have no place in the United States military. Now, this is important because General Milley was colluding with Nancy Pelosi, and it was after he and Pelosi agreed that President Trump was unstable that he took some of these actions. There is a great editorial op-ed today in Bloomberg, which is basically saying, no, let me see it. No, General Milley, this is it. No, General Milley, President Trump wasn't losing it. That's written by Timothy O'Brien. And this is to this assertion that both Milley and Nancy Pelosi made that he had to act because President Trump was just losing it. Let me read this one more time. Pursuit of partisan politics and individual self-interest are a violation of an officer's sacred duty and have no place in the United States military. That is what Acting Defense Secretary Miller said, and that is exactly what General Milley did. He brought his own personal politics. He and Nancy Pelosi together to bear. Any accusations, Miller said, that President Trump was intent on starting a war with China are completely unfounded. And Miller also said he looks forward to a full nonpartisan investigation of the accusations made by Woodward to guarantee that the genius of our founders and following generations that establish a system and culture of the subservience of our military, the most powerful force in our nation, to civilian control, endures. When we get back, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to speak with Louis Gohmert, Congressman Louis Gohmert, about these matters. And I have a quick update right before we go to Louis. Louis, just be patient. We'll be with you in a bit. Going to stop down for some messages, coming back with Louis Gohmert, coming back with your calls. Don't go away.
Now, here's the soul of excellence, James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, on 77 WABC.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, our racist Democrat theme is playing in the background. We have Congressman Representative Louis Gohmert waiting in the wings, and Louis, we'll be right with you. I have to do this story first. Biden ancestors owned enslaved people, a genealogist says. A genealogist who has conducted a sweeping look into President Biden's lineage says records show some of the Scranton, Pennsylvania natives ancestors on his father's side owned enslaved people. Alexander Bannerman, who along with presidential lineage expert Gary Boyd Roberts co-authored the article. Let me skip to the good parts here, or the bad parts, depending on how you view these things. According to Bannerman, the 1800 census showed that Biden's great-great-great-grandfather Jesse Robinette owned two enslaved people in Allegheny County. And another great-great-great-grandfather, Thomas Randall, enslaved a 14-year-old boy in Baltimore County. The researcher also told Politico that Randall and his family moved elsewhere in Baltimore County in 1860, at which point they owned a single male slave, according to census records. Now, one of my friends asked me a question when he heard this story. He said, why is it the Democrats owned enslaved people? And when the story is about Republican, they own slaves. Well, it's easy. Enslaved, you see, isn't as bad as slaves. Now, Joe Biden does have something in common with his vice president. That would be Kamala Harris. You see, Gianna just looked at her folks, too, the genealogists, and wouldn't you know what they found? They found that Kamala Harris' people owned slaves, too. They held enslaved people. So what do we have with Biden and Harris? We have enslavers in the White House. And that is today's racist Democrat update. Louis Gohmert, my brother from another mother. How are you, Louis?
My brother James. Hey, man, I'm doing all right. And I always love your bumper music and music you play. But I've wondered, you know, you have the most incredible album library I've ever seen in my life there at your home. And you've got enough bumper music there that is so incredible. You could be providing it to everybody in radio.
Yes, indeed.
What a library you have, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, it is amazing the difference in treatment for Joe Biden. You remember all those psychiatrists or psychologists that came out and said Trump was crazy?
Yep.
And now they're just not saying a word about Biden. Well, they're either hypocritical or they're just flat outright liars. So,
I know which side I'll fall on. Now, Louis, this business with business with General Milley is just incredible. We spoke about it.
Absolutely is. Yes. It is incredible. And the statement coming out today that it's entirely common, you know, this is to be expected. He was reducing tensions. Well, really, James, if you look at the conduct of a guy named Alger Hiss, he was providing the Soviet Union with information directly from the State Department. He was getting classified material. And if you really look at it, the truth is all he was really doing was reducing tensions, because the Soviet Union was concerned about, you know, America and us being so powerful. And they just reduced tensions. And if you look back at people who were giving away nuclear secrets as well, you know, there were other countries, the Soviet Union in particular, that were concerned about our power that they didn't have. Well, giving them nuclear secrets helped reduce those tensions. And, of course, nobody was better at reducing tensions of the enemy than Benedict Arnold. You know, he provided all the information about West Point and when Washington was going to be there, because if they had been able to successfully kidnap Washington, like Benedict Arnold was helping them to do, it would have seriously reduced tensions that the British had at that point, because they would have had George Washington in custody. So it's all about reducing tensions, and I'm glad that the people that made those statements on behalf of General Milley have now put him in the category of Benedict Arnold and Alger Hiss. But the truth is, as someone who dealt with the military and the UCMJ, you don't go above your commander to the, or go around your commander to the enemy to help reduce their tensions. And James, it reminded me, you know, one of the things I told President Trump very early on was that, look, I think you have the potential to be one of the greatest foreign policy presidents we've ever had, because you look at them, the people that were that really did the best job as president in foreign affairs were those who were unpredictable, were thought to be a little crazy, people like Teddy Roosevelt, people like Ronald Reagan. You know, Saturday Night Live would have the Reagan character walking around with his finger out going, where's the red button?
Where's the button?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was a tremendous help to Reagan in dealing with the Russians, because they weren't sure about this guy. He may be crazy enough to push the button. And by enemies thinking our president may be a little unhinged, it helps us achieve great diplomatic victories. You know, Kennedy made some major mistakes in foreign affairs. Khrushchev backed him down repeatedly. But when he finally stood up on the Cuban Missile Crisis, what helped him bring it to a conclusion was not some general going around him. It was communicating directly with Khrushchev. Here is what you're going to need to do. And the last thing he needed was some general undermining his resolve to stand up to the Soviet Union, and that's exactly what Milley did. I wasn't sure what he said, but the things that have been said today on his behalf make pretty clear, yep, he must have said exactly what, you know, and Woodward doesn't get things right all the time by any stretch, but maybe he got this one right based on what we're seeing today.
Now, let me just set the stage for people, Louis, for one moment about those tensions and why they were the way they were, because this is an important factor that we must not ever lose sight of. China, under Barack Obama, came from a nation that did not have great naval capabilities to a nation that instituted a blue water navy that is now a threat to the United States of America. China has decided that the South China Sea, which are international waters, belong to them. That South China Sea extends down in Southeast Asia through the Philippines, one of our allies. Okay? And so what they're claiming is, and what they said to us, the United States of America, the communist Chinese, is we don't want your American ships doing military exercises in the South China Sea. If you do, we will fire on your ships. President Trump did not blink. He did not say, oops, okay. And these are the tensions that Milley claims he was trying to reduce, a threat from the Chinese. And in response to that, he tells the Chinese government, oh, no, no, we're not going to attack you. I'll give you advance notice. I'll give you a heads up. He is alleged to have said that to his counterpart, General Lee, I'll give you a heads up if we're going to attack, so you won't be surprised. I have never in my life heard of an American general, except for Benedict Arnold, saying something that would give such comfort to a potential attacking force. China threatened us. We didn't threaten them. They threatened us. And Trump wasn't going for it. And so now you have this Joint Chief of Staff General Milley saying that, unelected, telling China, don't worry, we're not going to attack you. Crazy man Trump is not going to attack you. And he's also having conversations with Nancy Pelosi about all of this.
Yeah, it is absolutely unbelievable. Now, there are two types of treason. One is in statute, but the other is in Article 3, Section 3 of our Constitution. And, you know, there are two types. One, treason, and it just says treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them, the United States, or in adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort. Now, when it does say you got to have at least two witnesses, well, what was it, 15?
15 people, and apparently that's what's being reported today in these calls. No one is denying these calls took place.
Yeah, yeah. So it sure sounds like he was adhering much more to our enemies than giving them aid and comfort than he was in adhering to the command of his commander and commander-in-chief. It is treasonous. You don't go about making it your unelected goal to reduce tensions with our enemies. Sometimes the very best thing you can do is have them think the commander-in-chief is crazy so that they give in, as Reagan's enemies did, as Gorbachev did, you know, because Reagan scared him. And same thing with Roosevelt. You know, countries are going, this guy's crazy. He may send those 300 ships after us next instead of just sailing around the world. It does help if there is concern that this president will do what he says. And Milley took it on himself. Who knows how many others there were that, let's reduce tensions with our enemies. Let's adhere to our enemies and not tell our own commander, even though they are subordinate to him. Well, they're being insubordinate. So Louis should be fired. He should be court-martialed.
Absolutely. And I hope that this story just doesn't die away. And I hope that at some point our Republican leadership addresses this issue. Thank you, Louis, so much for your time. And we're going to continue this story.
Thanks.
So stay with us. Thanks, ladies and gentlemen. We are coming back right after this. Don't go away.
Welcome to the golden age of radio. James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, is on 77 WABC.
Cats at Night is coming up right after this. Every day here on WABC Talk Radio 77. Rich, what time is it?
Good afternoon, James. It is time for your clip of the day.
This is the James Golden Clip of the Day.
After telling my entire story of abuse to the FBI in the summer of 2015, not only did the FBI not report my abuse, but when they eventually documented my report 17 months later, they made entirely false claims about what I said.
That was Simone Biles. And what happened with this Nasser guy and the failure of the FBI is stunning. I'm sorry, that was Michaela Maroney. Thank you, Rich. Simone also said pretty much the same thing. They didn't follow up with her. Thank you. Now, there have been some other... We didn't get a chance to cover this week the testimony of Blinken, Secretary of State Anthony Blinken. Some of the things that he testified to is that, yes, manifests were handed over to the Taliban. Blinken refused to answer how many American names were given to the Taliban. Blinken testified that he still doesn't know how many Americans were left stranded by his administration and Biden's, but the number of abandoned citizens, lawful permanent residents, and green card holders, we're talking thousands left in Afghanistan. Blinken said, of course, we left weapons in the Taliban hands. And he has failed to take responsibility for any of this. Congressman from Florida, Brian Mast, lit him up the other day and showed him pictures one by one of the 13 military members who were killed and said their families need to know the truth. It is time for telephones. Rich, where are we going?
James, today let's start with Bob in Toms River, New Jersey.
Toms River, New Jersey. Bob, welcome to WABC Talk Radio 77 with James Golden, a.k.a. Snurley. What's up?
Hey, Hey, how are you, James? It's great to speak with you. I'll make it really short and simple. I was thinking about this whole thing with General Milley, and he's not really what I would consider a risk taker. By the way, I'm an investigator. I do cybersecurity investigations. So he's more of a windsock and, you know, kind of like any way the wind blows, right? So why would he go off the reservation before the election if there was not some type of guarantee that Trump was not going to be elected? So I think this all plays into the narrative of something wrong happened during our election. This guy says what he needs to say to keep himself out of harm's way.
Okay, and now here's what I don't want to do. And I hear what you're saying, and it might make sense logically, but here's where I'm coming from. I want to focus just on what he did. What he did deserves to be investigated for what he did. And what he did needs to be punished. We cannot let this go. This is not just business as usual in Washington, D.C. Rich, where are we going next?
Next, let's go to Jay in Brooklyn.
Hello, Jay. Welcome. WABC Talk Radio 77.
Hi. My question is about Milley again. The phone call, the gist of it, kind of suggested that maybe Trump was a diminished capacity. Maybe he could have made the Chinese think that he was perhaps crazy. Maybe they would have done something differently. I mean, I think he really overstepped his boundary. He wasn't in a position to make that determination.
That's exactly right. Now, and this business about Trump being crazy, this is the other collusion that took place between General Milley and Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi, who called him, and they chatted with each other. And her line, pretty much, and I'm paraphrasing, Trump is crazy, Trump is crazy, Trump is crazy. Milley says back to her, I agree with you. And then he proceeds to take actions. Something wrong here.
One question.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I leave you with one question. What does Milley think about Joe Biden? And then I'll hang up.
Well, let's take it the other way. What does Joe Biden think about Milley? And if you heard Ray Raimondi at the top of the hour at the news, he played Joe Biden's words, saying that he has great confidence in the general. That he has great confidence in General Milley. After this, after what happened here, if he were really acting responsibly as commander-in-chief, Joe Biden should be the one demanding Milley resign immediately and face a military tribunal. WABC Talk Radio 77, where are we going next, Rich?
Next, let's say hi to Carol in West New York.
Hello, Carol. Welcome. WABC with James Golden at Case. Hi.
James, I always enjoy speaking with you. One thing I wanted to say before I speak about Milley, I'm very disappointed that Larry Elder did not win.
Me too.
Very disappointed. Yeah.
Me too, but you know what? We spoke with, and I'm glad you brought it up because I meant to actually talk about that at the top of the hour. And you know what? Larry said yesterday on this show.
He's fantastic. He really is.
He is. And Larry said this is just the beginning. He is now a force in California politics, and it is not over.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So what do you think about that?
He's going to be back on his radio show. That's
well, I know one thing. Larry Elder may be starting a movement in California. And if he does, he deserves all of our support because we have to.
Yes, he does.
Yes, because we have to get behind people like Larry Elder. Larry took a lot of arrows. He took a lot of mud, especially and racism from the L.A. Times. But he never gave up. And even in a defeat last night, he was very gracious, but this should not be over. Time for one more. Where are we going, Rich?
Right, one more. Monica in Westfield.
Hello, Monica. Welcome to the program, James Golden, a.k.a. Snerdly.
Thank you. I love your program.
Thank you.
I look at it quite concisely. I really feel that this whole thing is by design. It's on purpose. It's part of the deep state globalism. They're all part of the cabal. That's how I look at it. It's deeper. They all have a deep-seated agenda. And, you know, just like it was Russia, 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 and all, it's Afghanistan, Afghanistan, Afghanistan. They did this on purpose.
Mm. Well, I'll tell you what, Monica. I do believe the deep state has revealed itself to be deeper than anyone thought. That we agree on. James Golden with you, and I'll be with you tomorrow, 4 o'clock. Make sure you're here every day. Tell your friends. WABC Talk Radio 77, the crown jewel of American radio in the city that is the greatest city in the world, our city, New York, in the greatest country humanity has ever witnessed. And I will be back tomorrow. God protect, love, and bless all of you and us. Back tomorrow. Bye.